the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
If the United States insists on its own way, China will fight to the end. That's what China's Commerce Ministry has said. We're joined for the United States by Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. And Cal, what do you think China means when it says it will fight to the end? And we seem to have lost Cal. Marion, can you take that for me?
Well, I think China is sending very clear signals about that already, Matt, with its military exercises around Taiwan yesterday, which were the most extreme and the most sort of radical in years and years. So I think that that's what we can take. China, it's fascinating to see. You know, Donald Trump has always claimed that he's a big admirer of the Chinese president and that, they respect each other and they understand each other. Well, Xi Jinping isn't, he's not playing around here, and he's ironically appearing to be taking the role of this is China standing up against the US bully, and that China is doing this as a sort of a gesture for the smaller nations. I think China is not going to back down on this. I think that they have a reading of Trump that they can call his bluff and that they can actually reach, and they're probably right that there will be some kind of an accommodation reached at some point. And I think the reading of the markets today is that after Trump's performance yesterday with Benjamin Netanyahu and the White House and all the mixed messaging that people are saying, it's a disaster for investors, it's a disaster for our business, but is this thing really going to run the distance? Even though Trump is saying these tariffs are permanent, he's also saying, yeah, well, we're negotiating with 50 or 70 countries. So, which is it?
Okay, Cal Thomas, I think you may not have heard the question I was putting to you, but when China says it will fight to the end, what do you think it means by the end?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think we know, but this is...
And unfortunately, we've had another dropout from Cal, having communication difficulties with Cal this evening. Tell us a little bit about, Marion, that press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu last night, which Trump, as usual, dominated, with Netanyahu the latest to sort of sit there almost silently.
Well, Netanyahu got what he came for, so I think he was probably quite happy to sit there silently. There was no mention of anything that's happening in Gaza, of the humanitarian crisis, of the scandal that has emerged. Scandal is probably too weak a word, about the ambulance drivers and the medical workers who were shot by the Israeli forces and were buried along with their vehicles. The video that has emerged has totally contradicted their version of events. There was nothing brought up about any violations of war, violations of human rights, I should say, in the war in Gaza. So Benjamin Netanyahu got to nod along and say, yes, we will, talk about these trade deficits. Even there are some sanctions on Israel, some tariffs on Israel I proposed with this big Trump sweeping global tariffs. But, there were indications that they're talking, and, Netanyahu made all the right noises and, trade deficits are terrible. We'll work on getting ours down. So that was all Trump needed, was a prop beside him to nod along and say, yes, you're right on trade. And in exchange, Netanyahu was able to skate home without any questions about the what's happening in Gaza.
Although I think Trump did take the opportunity to make further offensive comments suggesting he saw Gaza as a real estate play, and even suggesting that American troops might go there.
Yeah, this I think is something that, like so many things Trump says, when he says it first, people are just reeling with the shock. And that appalling video he released on his social media platform with he and Elon Musk and Benjamin Netanyahu, AI generated, sitting by pools and striding down the streets of Gaza with gold statues of Trump everywhere. If you want to radicalize a community, this is the way to do it. If you want to radicalize people who have been bombed and starved for 18 months, this is a way to do it. Again, Trump's idea of bringing peace is this one-note strongman thing that you bomb and bully people to the negotiating table. And Netanyahu is certainly, on the same page as him when it comes to that.
Okay, we're still having problems getting Cal back, so I want to push on a little bit. To the latest on tariffs, tell us, Marion, about the pushback in the United States, it finally seems to be coming from Wall Street, does it? And we leave Elon Musk for a little while. But tell us about some of the big financial figures, some of whom are utter hypocrites, given that they were enthusiastic backers of Trump last year, who are now saying, oh no, this is the wrong thing.
Well, you know, even before we get to Wall Street, let's talk about Apple very briefly. We saw Tim Cook at Trump's inauguration. He was bowing and nodding along with, you know, Bezos and Musk and all the rest of the tech supremos. And Apple had $630 billion wiped from its share price in 3 days. It would cost Apple, while we're on the threes, I think it would cost Apple about, somebody said about, one of the analysts, about $30 billion. And it would take 3 years just to relocate 10% of its operations to the United States. It's just not, you know, the whole thing is just not viable. So I wonder if Tim Cook is, regretting his cozying up to Trump. But we heard Jamie Dimon and Bill Ackman, who were all, you know, huge Trump champions and saying, yes, you know, they were looking at deregulation. I think they thought, like so many people, Trump will come in, there'll be a load of deregulations, mergers and acquisitions will be back, they'll be going gangbusters, the taxes will be cut, and, you know, he'll forget about the tariffs, or he'll be distracted, or somebody will tell him this isn't a great idea. Well, none of that is happening. And Jamie Dimon did come out and say that the tariffs would slow down growth. Ackman said that there would be a nuclear economic winter, you know, even more extreme. So it seems, and it, on the Hill, you have pushback from a couple of Republicans. It's not going to be enough to make a significant difference at this stage, who are saying that, well, actually, Trump, you don't have the legal rights. The president doesn't have the legal right to do this, to declare this emergency and tariffs as a result. You know, it was always presumed that the Ways and Means Committee, this really powerful committee, had total control over taxes, trade and tariffs. And I spoke with Richie Neal, who was the ranking chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, a great friend of Ireland for decades. And he was, you know, this is before the election even, and he was scoffing. He said, there's no way these tariffs are going to happen. And I think that everybody on Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats, kind of thought the same. But now Republicans are looking at the midterms and they're freaking out. They're going, oh my God, the markets are in chaos. You know, $11 trillion wiped off stocks in 3 days, although they have rebounded today. And so I think that there's a move on Wall Street, and also the stirrings of some kind of a vertebrae on Capitol Hill, where Republicans are saying, well, what can we do? It's Mitch McConnell, it's usual suspects, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, and a couple of more have joined them. Tom Tillis is one. But can they do anything? Because will Trump just override, unless they get a two-thirds majority, Trump can just override it with a veto. Any move to curb his controls, or his attempt to control the whole tariff situation.
Okay, Cal Thomas is back on a different line. And Cal, we've moved on from China, so can I ask you, do you think anyone can control or curb Donald Trump at present? Have you ever seen, in your experience, a president actually operate almost as if immune from Congress and the Constitution?
Well, Matt, I'm sorry we moved on from China, and I don't know why we had the problem with the phone lines, because I had a lot of research here that I wanted to weigh in on. And since Marion had all of this, these things to say, I just would like to quote a couple of people who were very much for tariffs before they were against them. This was Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader in 2018. China takes total advantage of the United States. They steal our intellectual property using cyber theft. Not only do they steal our intellectual property, they keep our good companies out and say the only way you're going to be able to sell your American products in China is if you come to China, make them there, and give us the techniques and intellectual property. Now, that, there are plenty of others, too. Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and others were all for tariffs 8, 10, 12 years ago, and now they're all against them. Now, to your question.
Actually, before we get that, because I think this is very interesting. It's very easy to quote what people in opposition say, as you always say, for political reasons. But the issue is that Trump is in power and is doing it. And it's not just tariffs against China. It's extraordinary tariffs that break up the economic relationship between the United States and China and could provoke the Chinese in places like Taiwan. But not only only that, it's a time when Trump is blowing up the world economic system through tariffs as well, for all sorts of bizarre economic reasons, which nobody believes actually stacks up. So he's doing incredible damage. A couple of times last week you said, well, let's wait and see what happens. You've had a week to see what's happened since this announcement on Wednesday night. And do you now think that we can be sanguine about the potential impacts of Trump's tariff derangement syndrome?
That we're always concerned about what the dictators in China and Iran, oh, we might provoke them. We might make them angry at us. They're already provoked. They're already angry at us. They hate our system. The United States pays $370 billion in tariffs to other countries and receives only $50 billion in return. That is an imbalance that cannot continue. Trump said several years ago, and I agree with him on this, that there should be no tariffs and no trade barriers at all. Zero, zero, as Benjamin Netanyahu said yesterday in the White House. Let's get rid of all of it. China makes virtually all of our drugs. What if China decided to stop making drugs, other than fentanyl, of course, which is killing us? What if they decided to stop making Eliquis and some of these other drugs that are necessary, especially for seniors in the United States? We need to get the drugs made back in the United States by Americans and for Americans and a lot of other things. So will factories be built fast enough to do all these things? No, but I would have preferred a more incremental approach rather than a universal tariff war right now. But something has to be done. And don't forget, the stock market went down during COVID. It went down during 9/11. There were predictions in the New York Times of a massive recession, even a depression if Trump were elected 8 years ago. It didn't happen. The United States is the biggest economy in the world. We will come back. This will reset.
Okay, we'll see. I'll come back to you, on the dictatorial nature of his measures. What's your assessment of what Carl's just said there, Marion?
Well, you know, I think that with China, that all of these people were correct. China does need to be contained. And, you know, Biden did keep some of the Trump Chinese tariffs on when he became president. But it's the way in which Trump has done this. This one person wrecking ball that just swipes across the globe and wrecks the whole economic order and the whole trading order. For what? You know, the other recessions that Cal referred to, 9/11 and 2008 and you know, the previous recessions, they were caused by a confluence of events. COVID, you know, this was a global pandemic. 9/11, a terrorist attack. 2008, a subprime market out of control. This is just the work of one person. This is all down to Trump and his 1980s obsession with all things 1980s and his 1980s way of looking at the world. And it just makes no sense. And in the meantime, you know, like Trump is saying, oh yeah, all these, you know, countries, our 70 countries are coming running to us to try to negotiate. Does he think they're not also negotiating with each other? Does he think China isn't talking to other countries right now, to Japan and South Korea, and trying to come to their own arrangements? Because people will find markets, and if America isn't open, well, then they'll find somewhere else to sell their goods. And the other thing is that's been completely ignored in all of this is that, yes, the US has a import deficit because it has an insatiable consumer market and it cannot make all the things here that Americans want. But what about the services surplus that it has? $300 and something billion with the EU. Nobody's talking about that. Trump isn't talking about that. So, you know, on the one hand, yes, the US imports more than exports when it comes to goods, but it exports way more when it comes to services, insurance, technology, banking, all of these things. What if, what if these are targeted by the EU? Because that would really be painful for America very, very quickly.
Okay. Carl, address that issue as to the imperial nature of the way Trump is behaving. He did joke in his election campaign if he could be dictator for a day. But does it look like that he has actually become a quasi-dictator for months, that nobody is able to or is too afraid to stand up to him?
Well, I think you're seeing a debate now between Elon Musk and Peter Navarro. This has just come out in the last 24 hours or so, how Musk is calling Navarro names, and Navarro is remaining silent. I think debate and I think disagreement, even publicly, is good on these kinds of things. I don't think it's good to have one person with all that power. And as I said earlier, I think an incremental approach on tariffs would have been much better. I'm also suggesting that Trump needs to do something that he hasn't done yet and do a nationally televised address in prime time from the Oval Office explaining this in easy language that most people can understand. Now, most people get when he says you can't buy an American car in the EU, but they send a lot of cars, BMWs, Mercedes-Benz, and many others to the United States here. People understand that. That's not fair, and there ought to be some equanimity in that. And I think he deserves the American people deserve a direct speech from the president from the Oval Office in prime time, and I think he would get some points for doing that.
You said Peter Navarro hasn't responded to Musk, but actually it was Musk responding to Navarro, because Navarro had said on CNBC on Monday that the Tesla boss was not a car manufacturer, but a car assembler, and criticised the fact that Tesla uses parts that come in from abroad, once the whole thing start to finish made in America. I'm not sure the minerals and materials are there for the batteries. And then the response that Musk had was that Navarro is a moron who's dumber than a sack of bricks. And I would suggest this is one of the rare occasions, Cal, where I'd actually be on Elon Musk's side. Because this guy Navarro has been revealed that he cites this economic expert who supports his theories, and he's put them in his books, a fellow called Ron Varro. Vara. It just happens to be an anagram of his surname. He invented this guy to provide himself with support. I even saw Navarro was given a space in the Financial Times overnight to put forward his, and it's an argument full of holes when you read through it. I'm surprised that he didn't cite Vara or get Vara putting messages at the end of it applauding him for that. How can this convicted guy who was in prison during the Biden administration be having such a hold over Trump when he's clearly a fool?
Well, Matt, there's not much I can disagree with on that. I think you pretty much nailed it. You know, I've said before many times I am opposed to name-calling. I hate it when Trump does it. It doesn't advance an argument. I'd rather win the argument than label people, calling people dumb as bricks and all this other stuff. That doesn't do anything. That usually is the last refuge of people who have lost an argument, when you start calling people names. And you do it much better, Matt. You set out the facts to let people reach their own conclusions. And I very much appreciate you not calling me names, except, you know, when you call me a nice guy.
You're a very nice guy, Cal. Actually, there's a few listeners, though, saying that you can get Ford cars here in Ireland, and I think Opel are American cars as well, aren't they? It's all the other cars are just regarded by European consumers as being inferior to what is on offer here in Europe from European and Japanese manufacturers. Unfortunately, an awful lot of your cars, Cal, are not particularly good.
Well, that's let's let the market decide. Why have these tremendous tariffs in the EU against American cars? Lift the tariffs, and if people want to buy a Cadillac, a Ford, a GM car, a Chrysler car, let them decide, and let the market decide. And if people don't want it, then the American manufacturers will pull back and will not be sending cars over them. That's a simple answer to the problem.
Okay, Marion, just other things away from Trump, but his appointment as essentially his health minister, what's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. up to now in relation to praising anti-vaxxers?
Well, you know, this is heartbreaking, because two children and an adult, two children in Texas, in a Mennonite community in Texas, and an adult in New Mexico have died as a result of contracting measles. There was a big outbreak in this Mennonite community and in Texas. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. went to Texas to attend the funeral, but, you know, made no attempt. Like, there was a statement issued by the Department of Health saying, you know, a very, like, by the book, saying that the best way to prevent measles is to get the vaccine. And then, of course, he contradicts all of that by going and praising these anti-vax people and, you know, turning up in Texas and saying nothing, not saying to the community at all, look, you need to get vaccinated, which might have carried some weight. You know, I mean, and in the meantime, he's gutting the Department of Health. All of the scientists, all of the funding is being slashed. It's what he is doing is what you would expect somebody who has nothing but an ego, no experience in running a big company, and who's got the ear of all these quacks and conspiracy theorists. He's basically running the Department of Health, well, running it into the ground, but doing what you would have expected him to do before he was appointed. It's a real
absolutely
shame.
Absolutely correct.
And it's
absolutely right.
Thank you, Cal.
100% agree. 100% agree. I got all my vaccinations as a kid. I got a polio vaccination. I got all of my COVID vaccinations. And that's what's turned me into a conservative.
Cal,
tell, vaccine for that, Cal.
Cal, what do you expect out of negotiations with Iran?
Not much, Matt. We've been down this road before in the Obama administration with John Kerry, a special envoy there. These people are liars. They believe that they have a religious mandate. They've said so. The Ayatollahs have said so, that they have a religious mandate to create a nuclear bomb to wipe out Israel, to kill Jews, to come after the cross worshippers, that would be the Christians, and to take over the world. They're not shy about this. Why shouldn't we take them at their word? This is not going to go anywhere further, I think, than it did during the Obama administration and the Biden administration. Now, will Trump follow through on, which is a very, very veiled threat to bomb Iran? I don't know. We're going to see. But I don't expect anything good that's going to benefit the United States or the world, for that matter, to come out of these negotiations.
Okay, we will leave it there. Thank you very much, both of you, Marion McCall and Cal Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.